shortwave, AM, FM, and the internet. This is PCJ. Yeah! It's now time for the Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Perrone.
Oh, no!
Yes, well, it's now time for another exciting and spectacular, that sounds very silly, edition of the International Happy Station Show. I'm Keith Perron here with you for the next 55 minutes. Yes, 5-5, your lucky number, and hopefully mine as well. Anyway, I hope that you had a pretty good week. I certainly did, except I'm sort of going through a stage of sweating at the moment, because here in this part of the world, we're now going into our summer. And in Taipei, it is becoming more hot. And in Singapore, where I am at the very moment, at this very moment, yes, I am coming to you from Singapore, it is extremely hot. And it's one of those things where if I'm not in an air-conditioned environment, I become very, very difficult to deal with. Yes, we're coming to you from Singapore this week. I was in Singapore this past week for a few days, and we recorded this show on Wednesday. And, next after this, I'm flying to Tokyo, where I spent a couple of days, and then I'm back to Taiwan on the weekend. Now, we have an interesting show, because the two topics that we have on today's show, one concerns Singapore. The second one concerns a listener of ours in Japan, which we will tell you about later on in the show. Anyway, do check us out online at www.pcjmedia.com. That's www.pcjmedia.com. And you can find out all the different ways to listen to us, either by downloading the podcast of the show or listening to us on one of our partner stations around the world in New Zealand, the USA, Europe, Africa, and coming up very soon, Singapore. Yes, not just Happy Station, but PCJ Radio will be carried for 6 hours on Saturdays in Singapore starting next month. All the details will be at our website. Anyway, let's kick off with a little bit of music right now. We're going to take a listen to two actors who are singing. One is a very well-known actress. She's won, I think, one or two Academy Awards. I can't remember now off the top of my head. Her name is Meryl Streep. And the other one is Pierce Brosnan, otherwise known as Mr. Remington Steele. And, of course, later on, James Bond. And they're singing, yes, but this is from a movie soundtrack, the movie being Mamma Mia. Here they are with When All Is Said and Done on the International Happy Station.
One more toast, and then we'll pay the bill. Deep inside, both of us could feel the autumn chill. Birds of passage, you and me, we fly instinctively. When the summer's over and the dark in my dreams, the scene I see unfold. True at last, flesh and blood to cherish and to hold. Careless fools will suffer, yes, I know, and I confess. Once I lost my way when something good had just begun. Lesson learned, it's history when all is said and done. In our lives we have walked some strange and lonely tracks. Slightly worn, but dignified, and not too old for sex. We had it an open eye with nothing left untried. Standing calmly at the crossroads, no desire to run. There's no hurry anymore when all is said and done. Standing calmly at the crossroads, no desire to run.
Pierce Brosnan, Meryl Streep, when all is said and done, here on the International Happy Station. And before we continue, I have to tell you our technician this week is Stanley Tung of MediaCore, which used to be known about 15, 18 years ago as the Singapore Broadcasting Corporation. So hello and thank you to Stanley Tung for running the board for us today. A moment ago, I gave out our website, and I should tell you about our Facebook page that we have. Yes, we have a Facebook page. You are more than welcome to join the group. Just do a search for PCJ Media or The Happy Station and click on Join the Group, and that's all you need to do. And you can also add me as one of your friends on Facebook, and we can chat on Facebook at any time if I'm online at that moment. Just do a search for Keith Perrin. That's K-E-I-T-H, and my family name is spelled P-E. R-R-O-N. And that's all you need to do, and that's all you need to know. So I'm out of here. Goodbye. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Coming up in a moment, I'm going to be joined here in the studio with a darling of a singer. She is absolutely fantastic. She is fabulous. Her name is Sun Ho. And she's standing on the other side of the glass right now. And I have a funny story, which I'll tell you about Sun after we take a listen to this. It's another actor doing some singing. It's Kevin Spacey from the movie soundtrack Beyond the Sea with Fabulous Places here on the International Happy Station.
There are so many fabulous faraway places to see, such as Mexico, Sweden, Hawaii, Japan, and Capri. There's so many exciting and wonderful places, mountains and jungles and desert oases. Pleasant as home is, it isn't what Rome is, so why stay there when there are so many fabulous faraway places to see? Why should Spain and Tahiti and Rio just be only names to you and me? I feel certain there's people we'd be glad to know there. So tell me, why don't we get up and just go there? Go to those fabulous places where we long to be. Like Bangkok, Hong Kong, and Paris, and Venice, Tokyo, and Cairo, and Lisbon, and London. Wonderful, fabulous places we're longing to see. Thank you.
to see. When I think of the warm Caribbean, I see a new world for you and me. I'd give anything just to have one single day there. And once we get there, I know that we'll stay there. Stay in those fabulous places where we long to be. Like Bangkok, Hong Kong, and Paris, and Venice, Tokyo and Cairo and Lisbon and London, Siam, Siena, Vienna, Verona, Java, Jamaica, Bombay, Barcelona. Show me those fabulous places we're longing to see.
Kevin Spacey with Fabulous Places from the soundtrack to the movie Beyond the Sea. Well, my special guest in this part of the show is Sun Ho. Sun Ho here in Asia is considered kind of, well, she's almost like a Madonna type. She's a bit of a diva, and she's now giving me funny looks on the other side of the window, but you are. And we've known each other, 10 years, and for some reason, and I don't know why this has happened, but we seem to meet up once a year. We do an interview, and we've done interviews not just here in Singapore. Actually, this is the first time that I've interviewed you in Singapore. The other times were in Beijing, Shanghai, Hong Kong, Taiwan, also one time in Los Angeles, and we met up one time in Berlin in, 2006? Yes, for some reason we keep running into each other once a year. But she's an absolutely fantastic singer, and she joins us next. Now, to give you a little sample of what Sun Ho is like, we're going to take a listen to a song that she recorded in the U.S. It was also released in the U.S., and she performed this on, I remember it was some award show, I think it was the MTV Music Awards when it came out. It was composed by Wyclef Jean. Here's Mr. Bill Sun Ho coming up next, my special guest on the International Happy Station.
How am I can sell fish on my cooked food?
A medium geisha. All the girls, if you're tired of cooking and cleaning, boy, your man is at the bashman. Let me see some bullet, bullet, bullet. You think this is your lady song?
Queen of Shatta, I want to be.
I want to kill you. But if I have to, I will kill you. If Mr. Bill think I'm okay with Bill,
you
want me to cook and wash, you want me to scrub and mop. But I'm sitting on the side of the bed contemplating, should I send him to the cemetery rock? I'm sitting on the side of the bed contemplating, should I send him to the cemetery rock? Every morning he wakes up for breakfast. Did I make the lunchbox? Did I clean the pool? Bring him the papers, turn on the coffee maker. Bring a hot cup for the master. But the days of suffering are over. Talking to myself, I'm looking in the mirror, asking myself if he loves you. How can your eyes be black and
I wanna kill you. But if I have to, I will kill you. If Mr. Bill
on a
side of the bed contemplating should I send him to the cemetery rock. I'm sitting on the side of the bed contemplating should I send him to the cemetery rock.
The nine strap on my leg, they clip them in on me tired man glum bed behind the fridge, 16 under the bed. Why you say me a shot of my heart up your head, no say nothing, tomorrow you find that dead. We tired of the stress, tell a fast, he say no taste, if him not run no money, we a go broke bill neck. This is not a warning, this is a threat, we have a lot in the cemetery for laying that breath. So tell Bill it's time to write a will, now I take you out and him want you pay the bill, and if him not stop him, I go get poison pill.
But if I have to, I will kill Bill. If Mr. Bill think I'm okay,
want me
to cook and wash, want me to scrub and mop. But I'm sitting on the side of the bed contemplating should I send him to the cemetery rock. I'm sitting on the side of the bed contemplating should I send him to the cemetery rock.
What was that?
I'm Mr. Bill, I'm in the one I'm paid.
Come from Singapore, and I used to feel really inferior because you know that in Singapore we speak a brand of English, we call it Singlish, and then our Mandarin is like, oh no, nobody's gonna understand what we're saying, our accent is horrible. But now that I think back, I think I'm pretty fortunate because at least I get to understand it and I can mix with the people and just, you know, correct my accent and so on. At least I don't have to start from scratch.
Well, there's something that I noticed you haven't said yet.
What?
I have a friend of mine in Singapore. When he says Singapore, he goes, Singapore?
Singapore?
Yeah.
I try not to say that, but when I get back, I'll speak like that.
When you heard that you were going to be singing some songs by the guy who wrote songs for Madonna, was part of you going, no, this can't be real? Me? I'm from Singapore. Nobody in the U.S. knows me yet.
Exactly. That was what I was thinking. And I'm thinking, why me? You know? And I think, oh, no, I'm going to sing and dance in front of all these big producers. You know, I mean, all the singers from L.A. and U.S., they can sing so well. And I really don't think that my English can cut it. So when I went there, I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to come back. And my album's called Lonely Travel. I'm going to think, I'm going to be really lonely when I come back because I'm going to feel so defeated, you know, and rejected. But I just think that I'm fortunate and I think that they are really gracious, mm-hmm. you know, in teaching me and giving me a chance.
I mean, you grew up in Singapore, which has so many, there's a lot happening musically there because there's so many influences from, not just from Asia, but also a lot of music from Europe and North America. When you were growing up, when you look back now, what were the kind of things that may have influenced your style and, you know, maybe have influenced you to become a singer?
I've always loved singing, you know, when I was in school. As far as I can remember, I always joined competition and everything. I think it's just music. Mm-hmm. I listen to most of it. I listen to Western music mm-hmm. in the past, and until I become a Mandarin pop singer, I started, you know, to train myself listening to all the Chinese songs and so on. So I think I'm more influenced by the U.S. singers, mm-hmm. yeah, like Whitney Houston, Celine Dion, Barbra Streisand, and my favorite Barry Manilow.
Barry Manilow.
Yeah, he's my favorite. Like Mandy.
Can you sing like him?
No, how can I sing like him? Oh dear!
I thought you were going to start doing an impersonation of Barry Manilow here.
If
you know.
I can do that, I'm sure I'll make it in U.S.
What about like some of the legend singers like Aretha Franklin, Diana Ross, Bette Midler?
Yeah, Diana Ross. Yes, mm-hmm. yeah, a few of them. Yeah, but I think my era maybe Celine Dion and Barbra Streisand. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when you started off, did you originally want to record music in English and sing in English, or did you went, you know what, maybe if I just sing in one language here, I'm going to be cutting off this whole area? Is that why you started to? Chinese?
Actually, before I was a pop singer, I was a gospel singer, and I sang all my songs in English. So I was doing a kind of like a gospel concert in Taiwan, and that's how my first record company, Decca, kind of heard about me and you know, give me a contract and so on. So I have never thought that I would be a Mandarin singer, a Mandarin pop singer. So when he told me that, I'm thinking, are you sure? I can't, you know, I can't even speak the language very well. So I'm thinking, now I'm going to America and I can't, you know, I think that I can't speak English that well. So anyway, you know, it's always learning. It's a great experience to me. I'm just going to do my part, to do my best, you know, and of course results is really important, but whatever it is, you know, to me it's just a great trip. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just going to have fun and learn as many things as possible.
Well, when you were recording the songs in English, a lot of other singers, like for example ABBA, the first album that they put out, none of them could speak English. They were Swedish and they had a language coach in the studio. Mm-hmm. Did you have a language coach with you because you were, I'm a bit worried here, you know, bring somebody in to help me with the pronunciation?
Yes, I have my singing coach. She's from Sydney. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was with me when I went to LA, but I think they think that Australians speak with an accent. So I think they still prefer, I mean, like Peter Everson himself taught me, you know, he wants it his way. And yeah, so my teacher was just sitting there and encouraging me and giving support.
At least you're not saying, good eye, mate.
Oh, yeah, good. I can't speak like that. Yeah.
When you're in the studio recording a song, Do you like having input to say, you know, tell the producer, well, you know what, I'm singing it, could we please do it this way instead of this way?
I'm an Asian girl. Do you think I'll do that?
So you just say, you just go along with them?
No.
They'll say, we want you to sound like Luciano Pavarotti, okay? I mean.
No, actually, I'm very opinionated, but I feel that I'm still learning. Mm-hmm. So I get really, really fussy and opinionated when we are choosing songs. What kind of song to sing? Because, like, you can choose from 300 songs to get your 11 for the album. And it's really hard because most of them are nice after the company picked it. So we just talk about styles and music that I have a feel in. But once the song is written out, you know, with the lyrics and so on, I usually love to hear what the producers have to say, what is in their mind, how they want to produce it. And then I'll try it their way, and if I can't do it, I'll tell them why, you know, because maybe I have a different interpretation for this song and see what they say.
So a lot of it is what you're feeling in your heart when you're, yeah, when you're doing it.
Yeah.
Well, excuse me. It's not SARS. No, it's not SARS.
Ooh. Okay.
Well, being an up-and-coming artist, there must be the concern of piracy on your mind. I mean, as you know, here in Asia, pirate CDs is a big problem, and of course with people downloading stuff on the internet, what goes through your mind? Because some people may tell you that, you know, downloading music from the internet, why should I buy the full album if I only like the song? That's one side of the coin. But for the pirate CDs, I mean, I've heard from record executives where they said, well, you know, we'd like to invest into the local market, but if we release, let's say, 1,000 or 100,000 copies, we only sell 5,000 of it. The rest, everybody's buying the pirate ones. What's your thought about that?
First of all, I want to say, please, guys, don't do that. You know, help us. We're working really hard here. We want to be really, really good for you and for us. You know, and it's really hard. I know, you know, because I have friends that do that too, and they will just think, look, you know, sometimes it's not just about saving money. It's about convenience and so on. But I think it's a matter of integrity. If you could just really think for an artist like me, if you just, you know, give your money to all those people that sell all these CDs that are not 正版, mm-hmm, then nobody will actually invest money, mm-hmm, in helping us to make us better, you know, and the marketing, everything needs money, yeah, really.
Well, the people that hurt the most, especially in piracy, I mean, groups like the Rolling Stones and Celine Dion, they don't hurt so much more. It's the younger, the new talent that's coming up.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm one of them. And we don't stand a chance. Well, I mean, you know, if you keep doing that.
But the thing is, you know, who knows? Maybe in 10 years we'll be having this conversation again. You'll be like Celine Dion. You'll be opening up in Vegas.
that's good. That's a good dream. I can focus on that. I can live with that, I think.
So you're here in China now for the next couple of days. What are your plans while you're here?
My plan is to go to as many stations as possible, meet as many people in the media world as possible, because it's my first time. I think even though in Singapore and Taiwan and Hong Kong, people know me, but not so here. So I would love to have, you know, whatever connection that I can get. Mm-hmm. Connect, you know, with all the fans and friends that will be coming tomorrow night and different places that I'll be going to have a mini concert kind of show. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With, yeah, just to meet up, just to have a first experience of what China is about, you know, the Chinese market and so on. But I just want to have fun. I think today is my first day. It might be a little bit too optimistic, but I think my first day has been so great.
Well, I hope that, you know, while you're here... Yeah, it sounds like you're busy. But the thing is, I hope that while you're here for the few days that you're here, you're going to have a chance to do certain things that anybody who comes to China, to Beijing for the first time has to do.
Tell me
like
what.
Going
to Tiananmen Square, Forbidden City, the Great Wall.
We were saying about that, but they say it takes more than a day or at least a day to walk to Forbidden City.
You can do the fast tour, which is what I do. You walk in the front gate and you just keep going right to the end to the other gate. You can do it in about 2 hours, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I have to see that. Yeah, I mean, I really would love to do that. You know, I think this is a great country with so many things to see.
Mm-hmm. What were your expectations when you came here? When you arrived, were you kind of shocked about how things were around you?
Yes, actually. I mean, I don't mean to be rude, but I think, I don't know, maybe I've heard too much from my friends or people around me. I really thought that it would be more backward.
You know, you're not the only one to say that. Before I came to China, that was my impression as well.
Yeah. So I called back, you know, and I told everybody, I'm saying, hey, I'm really wrong, you know. I mean, some places feels like LA, mm-hmm. other places feels like New York, and it's very orderly. But my friends are saying, oh, you've been to the good places, you know. They still don't believe. Anyway, but... like I say, it has been a great first day. And I look at the people, I just think that it's really fast paced. I really thought that it would be more backward and everybody is much slower. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. just not first world.
But the thing is, you know, I know for a fact there's some, you're being from Singapore. And Canadians and even some Chinese people, they said, you know, Singapore. No, they call it Singapore.
Singapore, why?
Well, because a lot of people who haven't been to Singapore have this impression that it's a really boring country, that nothing goes on. That's the impression that a lot of people have. Am I correct? Are you waiting to answer?
Yes, you are, Keith. I wanted to say, no, it's not boring, but I come from there. I don't know. It's a little bit. Yeah. I'm being honest. Just a little bit. I think if you want to take a short holiday, it would be great. Like 3 days, you know, we have great shopping and great food. But
everybody's told me about the Singapore noodles.
Yes.
That's the only reason why I really want to go there. And also go shopping.
Yeah, you know. And we have chicken rice, we have satay, we have lots of food that will make you so guilty.
Otherwise, fat. You look at me right now. I mean, you know.
What?
Why
are you so... Well,
anyway. Actually, I lost a lot of weight because of my 80 concerts that I'm having now. I think I'm the halfway mark, like 40-something concert, I lost count. They only hear my voice. They don't see me anymore. I can actually run around the shower because I'll be so thin. So, yeah, that's what's going to happen.
S-U-N.
Woke up feeling like a millionaire, walking down the street with the wind in my hair. All the boys there say I look so good. No, I'm not cocky, but I knew that they would. 'Cause everywhere I go, my life is a party. I don't ever worry, the sun keeps on shining on me. Look how it's shining on me. You can't tell me nothing, look out, 'cause I'm coming. The street is my runway and everyone's looking at me. All of their eyes are on me. And I have
And that was Fancy Free, Sun Ho, her latest single, here on the International Happy Station, this week coming to you from Singapore in Asia, from the studios of MediaCorp, formerly known as the Singapore Broadcasting Corporation. And our technical wizard this week is Stanley Tong. During the interview, by the way, you heard a little bit of giggling going on in the background, and that was a very good friend of mine here in Singapore. She said to me, you know, I'm a big fan of Sun. Can I come to the studio while you do the interview? And I said, why not? And now the two of them are in the other side of the glass, chatting away like two very old women, even though they're very young. Well, I think we're at the same age, aren't we? Yes, but they're acting like two little schoolgirls or old women on the other side. It's quite amusing. Anyway, you're listening to the International Happy Station. And pretty soon, in just a few moments, we're going to be heading off to Japan. Well, not physically, but via Skype, I should say. We're going to be heading to Japan. And I'll tell you more about that right after this.
Hi, this is Bob Zanotti. Do you miss Swiss Radio International? If so, I invite you to visit my website, SwitzerlandInSound.com. Colorful and informative radio features about Switzerland, its destinations, interesting people, politics, culture, and even the two Bobs, SwitzerlandInSound.com, where English language radio from Switzerland lives on.
Hi, my name's Colin Newell, and I'm the editor and creator of DXR.ca. Since the mid-90s, DXR.ca has been the go-to website for timely resources for the DXR, SWL, and broadcast listener. If you're looking for unbiased reviews of the most modern receivers and antennas, or are interested in participating in some of the more lively online forums all about radio, then come on by. DXR.ca, a world band radio website.
DXR.ca. Check them out online. DXR.ca, by the way, is the website run and operated by our own Colin Newell. Now, a few weeks ago on the show, we talked about a movie called Clandestine, which is about clandestine broadcasting. And before we ran the interview, we put together a little segment, kind of like a numbers station. But at the time I introduced it saying, by the way, we picked up this very strange station, blah, 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 blah. And we used it on the show. Of course, at the end of it, I said it's not really a number station. We created it. It's the voice of our own Colin Newell. Now, we had a contest going. And believe it or not, one person out of everybody, I think it was over 23 or 24 people that responded. I don't have the information in front of me right now, but it's around over 24 that responded with the coded message, got it wrong, except for one guy, and we're going to go to him in a moment. He's all the way in Japan, but let's refresh your memory for a moment of that coded message.
8-1-1-6-1-6-2-5-1-9-2-0 1-2-0-9-1-5-1-4.
Joining us right now is Sakai Obara. And I know that may sound like Obama, but there is no relation at all. He is all the way in Japan. Thanks a lot for joining us on the Happy Station today.
I'm so happy to join this. And I'm really glad to know that I'm the only one who quoted the number message.
Right. Now, we actually ran a little clip on May 7th, which was a number station. It wasn't a real number station. Colin Newell, who does all our voice work here at for Happy Station Show and also for PCJ Media and PCJ Radio, I said, look, I want to, you know, have something interesting to introduce this little interview that I'm going to do on this film that we talked about. And a number of people wrote in. A few people were mystified, saying, I've never heard this number station before, which was one comment. Another one was, where was that broadcast from? Another one was, that is so unusual. Now, a few people did hear me say that that was Colin Newell before I actually introduced the clip, or rather after it, but not many people apparently heard that part of it. But there actually was a code in the message. And one person out of everybody that wrote in cracked the code. So Joining us today is our own secret agent, the secret agent for Happy Station. Let me ask you, how did you decide what the code could be?
Actually, first I listened to your broadcast in my car when I was driving. And then because I was driving, I was not really listening to about the content of the program, but they just I heard it's a very, very unusual sounds like a number station, but it's in English. So I was so surprised. And at first I thought that was real, but I had recorded the broadcast on my iPod, so I listened to it again. Then I found that was it's not real, and then the message was like quit. So I dictated the message to my paper. I mean the number on my on paper, and then continuous number, and then number, and then alphabet, and then I also dictated the message said a happy station. So, well, then the number and the alphabet. So,
it was pretty easy yeah, then, right?
So what I thought was the simplest way is just a number is the order number of alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
So. The first number was eight. The first number was H, because that's the 1, 2, 3 A B C D E F G. Yeah, this is the eighth alphabet.
Right, and the number is actually again that we read out, and I'll say it again. There was 8116162519201209154, and of course, you know, the thing is, as you know, I mean, you're a shortwave listener, which we'll talk about in a moment, but most number stations use numbers from a series of five numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right.
Use a series of five numbers. Well, anyway, right. Congratulations on winning it. I think we can call you, you know, Happy Station's secret agent. Secret agent number one.
Oh my God.
Now, you are a regular shortwave listener. And some people know this, but a lot of people don't. But Japan has a very large shortwave audience, probably larger than many countries in Europe or even in North America. Why is that, and how did you start listening?
Well, there was a big boom of shortwave listening in Japan during, I think, if I'm correct, that was during 1970 to 1980 or 1990, I think. And at that time, many young people were attracted to shortwave listening because the radio manufacturer like Sony and Panasonic, they used to have a special program for SWL.
Wait a second. Let me just get that into my head here. You said that companies like Sony and Panasonic actually did programming?
Yes, that's
wow.
Correct.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that program has attracted many young people. At that time, I was 13 or 14 years old. So there are so many young people did the kind of a hobby of shortwave listening. In Japan, we use the BCL, standing for Broadcasting Listeners, instead of SWL. So, there are so many young BCLs in Japan, and then now the people of that age just gradually came back to this world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
you said a while ago before we recorded the interview that you also travel quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Do you travel with a shortwave receiver?
Actually, yes, and I bring a software-defined radio. It's called Percells,
mm-hmm.
which is made in Italy. It's the I can use I need to use my laptop to listen to the radio, but it's very, very convenient for traveling, actually.
Mm-hmm. And what do you listen to when you travel, or even when you're at home?
Well, at home, I'm listening like well, Radio Australia, Radio Nederland, and something like that. And so I prefer to listen to English speaking, English speaking station, I mean, English broadcasts. And then also I'm traveling. I still enjoy listening. I frequently go to New York, and then I can listen to many European stations from New York. And then after work, I enjoy shopping listening there.
So. Now let me ask you, because you know there's different groups of shortwave listeners. You have certain groups of shortwave listeners that will only listen, let's say, to programming off shortwave, even though the program is available through other means. And then you have shortwave listeners that listen to shortwave, but mm-hmm. they also listen to programs that are streamed and downloading podcasts. What about yourself?
Well, actually, I do both. Still, I think I prefer to listen to shortwave because, I enjoyed this hobby during my young age. And so, I love to listen, still listen to the broadcast with the fading mm-hmm. and then a little bit of noise rather than very clear sound.
And, you know, there's one thing that I have been saying quite a bit, and I think this is an important point about shortwave, especially because you travel. It's mm-hmm. very portable. It's very, very portable. You could be in a hotel, let's say, that doesn't have a very good internet connection, but it doesn't matter. If you have a portable little mm-hmm. tiny receiver, and they're a lot cheaper than they were 20, 30 years ago, you have access to almost everything.
Yes. And also I sometimes bring my small radio, and then I enjoy everything. Many stations during my trip.
Sakai, thank you very much for joining us on the Happy Station this week. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Yes, it is my pleasure, and then I really, really enjoy the show, and thank you very much, Keith.
Before we sign off, do you want to maybe give a little greeting in Japanese for people listening right now who can understand the language?
Okay, yeah, I'd love to do that, yeah. Happy Station を楽しみの日本の皆様、どうぞ良い日々をお過ごしください。ありがとうございました。
Shide Toko by Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet. Yes, they're singing in Japanese. From an album called The World of Steve and Edie. Now, I do have a few things that I want to talk about before we end off today's show. First, once again, our website is www.pcjmedia.com. We have a poll running this month, and it's a very, well, you just have to answer, you know, make your choice. The question is, who does a better job at reporting on Russia? Again, who does a better job at reporting on Russia? The Voice of Russia World Service or the satellite channel Russia Today. Once again, who does a better job at reporting on Russia? Russia Today or the Voice of Russia World Service. So go ahead and vote. Right now, Russia Today is actually leading with 73% of the votes cast so far. When you're at our homepage, you'll see a link for PCJ Radio, which you can listen to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The programs that are in rotation are The Happy Station Show, The Stuff File Program with Peter Anthony Holder, Network Europe Week from Radio Netherlands, Arts on the Air from Radio Deutsche Welle, Switzerland in Sound with Bob Zanotti, Finally Friday with Neil Hendrickse, and Nash Hollis with Paulette McCrory. Now, speaking of Finally Friday with Neil Hendrickse, we have something very special coming out in June. June the 11th, to be exact, which is a Friday. Now, what is happening June 11th? Well, for those soccer fans out there, you know exactly what I'm talking about, and that is the World Cup, which kicks off June the 11th in South Africa. And for that day, June 11th, we have some special programming lined up with Finally Friday. So June the 11th, so the whole day, is a special program, a special schedule of Finally Friday from Cape Town, South Africa, with Neil Hendrickse, and that is happening on June the 11th. And to find out all the details, you can find out everything at our website at pcjmedia.com. All right, that's it. That's all we have time for on this week's edition of the show. A special thank you goes again to our technician, Stanley Tong, here at Media Corps. And later today, I get on a flight to Tokyo, where I spend a couple of days, and then I head back to Taiwan. And next week on the show, we have another interesting one. Yes, people may or may not be aware, but a lot of the music that we play on the show, well, some of it is CD, but a lot of it actually is vinyl. And I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but Taiwan has a very large vinyl market. My special guest next week is Ben from one of the largest vinyl retailers here in Taiwan. They have over, I'm not kidding, over 100,000. And this is just one store. So next week, Ben from Jingo is my special guest here on the Happy Station. We're going to be talking about Jingo and the vinyl market here in Taiwan for all those vinyl files, if I can use that word out there. All right. I'm going to leave you. Now, as you know, we usually end with the national anthem of the Republic of China, but since this week's show is coming to you from Singapore, we're going to be ending with the Singaporean national anthem. So, once again, on behalf of our technician, Stanley Tong, this is Keith Perron coming to you from very hot and humid Singapore, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
everyone is familiar with the big white alphabet letters on the California hillside spelling Hollywood. Now we're doing the same thing in Taipei, Taiwan, and so far our giant stainless steel letters spell the Happy Tation. One letter to go, and it's being lowered now. The S fell. Live coverage from KDXRadio.com.